Okay, today we're going to talk about Psalm 130. I think you're going to have it there, the outline. And I want you to check in your Bible, maybe the rest is going to be there too. And I have a little bit of technology here so I can have my own scripture here in full colors. And it's very interesting how the psalmist begins, and he says, out of the depth. He could say deep, like in the deep down the ocean. Usually when they use this word depth, he's referring to problems, to conflicts, difficulties. All of us, one time or another in our life, will face these problem. But let's go ahead and read the whole psalm and then we can comment on it. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But if you, there is forgiveness that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. More than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Isn't that amazing? O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with him there is steadfast love. And with him is plentiful redemption. So it's not, our salvation doesn't depend on our work. It depends on this amazing love that God has for us from even the very beginning, before the beginning of the world. So I have here three things that I want to emphasize today. The depths of sin, reason to hope, and trusting the Word of God. So the depth of sin, you see in the very first line there, very first line, O Lord, out of the depth I cry to you, O Lord, out of the depth. There is a problem there. With that word depth, he is describing something big is going on. And all of us, at one time or another, will have this kind of experience. A big problem. A big situation will happen. We don't like it. Whether somebody in our family caused us a problem in relationship, some difficulties, some unfaithfulness, some immorality, or an anger against a neighbor, or a problem at work, or perhaps a problem with God. Oh, I don't like the way God is treating me. And we began making our own interpretation of what God is doing. And we have a big problem. And that's why he's saying, out of the depth, I call to you, O Lord. So he's expressing right now his despair, his frustration, his agony. And I believe most of you, if not all of you, at one point or another, you have experienced that difficulty. Oh God, what are you doing? What are you doing? You don't love me? You don't care? Don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you see I'm going to such an amazing difficulty? But you had to let me go through anyway. And I am praying and I am asking, and you do nothing, nothing. And I had a young man one time. We were in a school bus, traveling. At that time I had just arrived in Mexico from Brazil. And so we traveled, and it was interesting going to Acapulco. And in the bus, somebody, one of the students was saying about somebody who gave him trouble, problem. And somebody told him, you know, give it to God. Well, I gave it to him. He doesn't do a thing. Because he was expecting God was going to send the lightning and kill the person. And a lot of times, it's not that God is not doing, he's doing things. But we need to remember one thing. We live in a fallen world. We sometimes as Christians whisper that because we are Christian, God should provide for us at all times. If somebody shoots with a gun, he will change that into a flower that will fly and hit our face. But if God keeps intervening in everything that happens in the world, then this world is going to be paralyzed. God, if it's going to rain, God stop the rain. If it's gonna, the sun is going to be hot, God stop the sun. Any problem, God stop. Then there is no reason for us to be here. We have to go through problems and difficulties because we live in a fallen world. I saw, and I like to see debates a lot of times between atheists and Christians or Muslims or other people who believe in God. But, you know, some believe one way, some believe the other way. But we know there is only one true God. And atheists ask, I don't understand why you guys say, thank God, he saved my child. There was a storm and 10,000 people were killed, but my house was spared. And they say, that doesn't make sense. Why didn't God save everybody? Why did you save your house? So the atheists, and some Christians too, they have a problem with God because they do not understand that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is cursed by sin. But sometimes we bring those problems upon us. Ronnie, I'm going to pick up. Let's say that Pete comes to Ronnie, and Pete says, hey, Ronnie, you know what? I'm going to leave the church. And I am choosing Pete because he's not going to do that. So, what happened, Pete? You know what? Pastor Mike passed to me today. He didn't say hello. He said hello to everybody. He didn't say hello to me. I think he don't like me. You know what? I'm going to leave this church. It's full of hypocrites. It happens all the time. People place their relationship with God according to what other people do to them. And they do not know that even as they go through these trials and tribulations and difficulties, they do not know or they seem not to understand that God is allowing them to go through those problems and situations so that they can be molded into the likeness of Christ. And sometimes we think, oh, I am already like Christ. You don't need to be molded anymore. Enough is enough. And we want to have a chance to be with one hand on sin and the other hand on God, and that don't work. God mold us. How many of you know or have heard of Erickson Dada? What's the name of that lady, that girl? Jenny, yes. You have seen her, the movie, the story of her life? Remember when her boyfriend, a young man, a fiancé, he had his own plane, no? So he was flying the plane, and the plane fell, and he died. So Johnny was upset. You see here in the movie. No, she couldn't believe. There's a big storm. But then later she jumped on the river and hit her head, and she became paraplegic. Yeah. So now she's completely paralyzed. She has written books. And she says she can trade that for anything. She knows more about God than she would. Nothing had happened to her. And I'm not saying that all of us at some point will become paraplegic in order to know God better. But we give up so easy, don't we? And we don't know that the harder the problem, the closer God is to us. He knows that we depend on Him. God doesn't think that we can do things on our own. It's an honor to us when God allows us to go through trouble, because He knows we can do it with His help. We could never do it by ourselves. And we could never be saved by ourselves. Everything is because of God's mercy. Yeah, but sometimes He's too hard. God is too hard. No, He isn't. He was hard on His Son, who gave His life for us. So, we have to put some of these other things that are there. When we disobey God, there are a few things there. When we disobey God, we cannot have genuine fellowship with Him. Sometimes we are in anger against God. Yes, I'm angry with God. I met a young man one time. He told me we are supposed to go to school, to college there in San Antonio, Texas. And he said, his name was Max Martinez. Max, let's go. No, I'm not going today. I'm not going to school? No. Why? I'm angry with God. Why? Because the Bible says that ask and you shall receive. I have asked, having received. He was asking for a wife. I said, man, but you need to put these legs to work. Work toward a young lady and say, hello. How beautiful is the day. Every time you get close to me, the sun is shining, you know, whatever. You need to. God is going to work, but He's going to work through you. He put young ladies closer to you and you turn away. And he was angry with God. And we lose fellowship with God, because we don't want to accept the discipline of God. We need to know God loves us. He let us go through this trouble. But He loves us. Someday in the future, someday, you say, God, thank you, I went through that problem. Because now I can help my neighbor, I can help this person, I can help my daughter, I can help my son. Because I've been there. I remember when we were missionaries in Colombia, this thing keeps moving, and We had Bible studies, several Bible studies in different places. And one time, those people during the drug war, you know, people killing, put car bombs everywhere, destruction every day. Sometime we had 50 bombs in one day in the city. And somebody killed a young man, 16 years old, from one of our Bible studies. Now, the mother was crying, and another believer came and said, "You shouldn't be crying, Christians don't cry." Another said, "I know what you're going through." "No, you don't. Unless you have a son, it has been shot 10 times, how are you going to tell another person, I know what you're going through?" Friday, I was visiting Helen, and I said, "Helen, yeah, I know, I understand what you're going through." And then I said, "What it really means, I don't. I do not understand. I have an idea of what it is to be in pain. I've been had a surgery." And the doctor came out, "How are you doing?" "Terrible. I don't feel good. I feel like I'm in the middle of the ocean, going like this, floating." "Yeah, it's not good. It's not good." But God allows us to go through those situations. The young man who died, well, why, we can look for explanation that we may never find. But we live in a fallen world, and we need to know that. In the midst of all this situation, God help us to grow. Many times when we are going to do Bible study in different places, the army occupied the whole neighborhood, and we are passing. "Get out of the car. Hands up. Open your legs." 3 blocks later, the same thing. "He already did that. That's okay, we do it again." Because there's a war going on. And you feel anger, and you feel frustration, and then you have to say, God is in charge. Let God be God. The things we can do, we'll do. The things we cannot do, we have to rely on God. And sometimes, and it has happened, people have been killed. 2 missionaries were killed in Colombia. They shot the bazooka and made a hole like this. And I was surrendered by the same group who killed that missionary. And that was before he died. And I was surrendered. And Val was sitting on the car, on the window. He was 7 years old, he's about to die. Because these guys were pointing guns, machine guns and everything. And I had no idea what to do. I stopped the car, turned off the key, I bowed my head and began praying. And those guys were there. 1 o'clock in the morning, in a highway, nobody there, just us and God. And looked like an eternity. And then I opened my eyes. There was nobody there. And you think, and even today I think, I look back and I think, the other 2 missionaries, they got killed. I'm not better than they. Why did they get killed? I didn't. I don't know. Those are God's things. Maybe those people are better prepared. They're already ready to go. I was telling Helen yesterday, or Friday, Helen, each one of us have a mission from God. When that mission is finished, we'll be here not a single more day. There is no reason to be. When Jesus died, he was 33. There was no need for Christ to be here. He finished his mission, he left, went back to the Father. And we're going to be here until our mission is finished. God doesn't make mistakes. Our mission will be finished, and at that point we'll go to be with the Lord. And I said, Helen, even as we are here supposedly to comfort you, to minister to you, you are the one ministering to us. Because we get so amazed to see your faith, your joy in the Spirit, we could detect, and just look in her eyes, she was just amazed. And she was asking questions from 4 years ago when we met for the first time. Just amazing. So I said, we don't know. When is the day? Whenever the mission ends. It may be right now. It may be a month from now. It may be a year from now. We don't know. God can do what God wants to do. And he does his things in his time. And we are his people. We are not going to question God. Although we do it a lot of times. But when we do, we better go back and say, Lord, I am sorry. And it says here, we become religious, but without pleasure in the things of God. Yeah. We can become very religious people. We talk the Bible, we sing the songs, we do the things that we're supposed to do. But yet we do not know God. Slowly but certainly we fall deeper into sin, but think it is okay. You know, a lot of time we get used to sin. And people think of sin only, oh yeah, if you're there committing adultery or killing people, assaulting banks. Well, those are sin too, but there's more to that. When we sometimes face difficulties that, let's say, you have a sin that keep coming, an evil thought that keep coming to your mind, oh, he did that to me, he's going to pay. Oh, sister so-and-so, gossip to me, I'm going to show her. Well, why those things keep coming back? And 10 years from now, they're going to keep coming back. And then Satan began relating one experience that you had at one point, that you consider that's a bad thing. Now you experience something else, and Satan connects the dots, and then you begin thinking, yeah, I know that God really don't love me. He, all these things, I'm failing. No, that's what Satan wants you to believe. What we need to do, don't worry about the other person. I had people who had come to me many times in Texas and say, this couple, he was 80 years old, husband and wife, and another lady there. The two ladies could not talk to each other. One was 79 and the other was 80. Yeah, because she keeps looking at my husband. And I said, if y'all want, I can go with the other, talk, and then when the other side is ready, we can put you together. No, she's the wrong. She needs to recognize and come. You see, this is an example. It's down deep there in distress, in frustration. Just like the psalmist says, out of the depth, I cry out to you. But if you don't cry out to God, and a lot of people forget that. When they cry out to God, they are demanding God to do something with the other party. Oh Lord, hear my voice, let your ears be attentive to the voice of my plea for mercy. So he's not asking for bad things to happen to other people. He's asking mercy for himself. When we acknowledge, Lord, I have failed, or I have sinned, and we ask God for his mercy, and God is ready to forgive you. It says that we are not glorifying God in our lives. That's right, because we cannot glorify God if we are without a genuine relationship with him. Now, I want you to check on 1 Peter, and if somebody can find 1 Peter and read 1 Peter 1, 14 to 16. Whoever finds it, go ahead and read it. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 14 through 16. You see, that's what God wants from us. God wants us to walk in holiness, in perfection. And we can do that only in Christ. Remember, he told Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. And I had thought about that scripture many times. Oh God, I cannot do that. I mean, be perfect. Perfection means being complete. It doesn't mean the absence of sin. We will sin many times. But are we complete in Christ? God will take care of the rest. Are we in Christ? If we are in Christ, then we are complete, even though we have our own failures. And he says, on verse 2, hear my voice, let your ear be attentive to the voice of my plea for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? It should be a sign to us that we have not been destroyed. Because what the psalmist is saying, if God was checking, okay, he crossed the red light. Oh, he's angry. He told a lie. And God is checking. Somebody calculated one time that we supposedly commit like 70,000 sins every day in different ways. By the end of our lives, how many sins we have before God? And if God is checking each one, what hope? That's what the psalmist is saying. What hope do we have if God is keeping a check of our sins? He's not, because we are in Christ, those who are in Christ. Now, if the person is outside of Christ, the non-believer, well, he has no hope. But the ones in Christ have hope. And in Exodus, Moses was talking with God. Remember, Moses asked God, show me thy glory. He didn't ask for nothing. Just show me thy glory. God Moses, really, he wanted to see God. Me too. I mean, the problem is the way we are right now on this planet. If we would see God, we would be dead. Because the holiness, the absolute perfection of God, could not, cannot mix with us because He's holy. So any, you know, attempt to approach God on that level that Moses was asking, because God told him, no human can see me and live. But yet God gave a little glimpse of who He is to Moses. When God began proclaiming to Moses and said, the Lord, steadfast in love. This is really amazing that God says that He is steadfast in love and He's not keeping a record. Look at this. He says, but with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. Not feared like in the sense like the world we get scared, we have a fear of something or somebody. No. The fear that he's talking here about is that reverence for God. He's such a higher being, such powerful, that we stand before God in awe. With that amazing respect for God, not being afraid of God, He's not going to do anything bad to us. He loves us, but we need to see God as He is. And how are we going to see the other people? We need to see people the way He sees them. Oh, but that person made such a bad thing with me. That person said a lie against me. What that person said is not the truth. And I am angry with that person because he's lying. And I hate her. But you see, how is God looking at that person? And we need to see every single person in the light of God's heart. Because if we think that God should look at that person, destroy her, do we really think that we would be spared from judgment? If God look upon us in the same level that we want God to look on the other person, that's what He's saying here. If you keep a record of our iniquities, who could stand? We could not stand. Therefore, I know we will feel the pain and we're going to feel the hurt. And that is all right. That is okay. We are human. And God knows that. But we need to ask God to forgive us. And when there's something in our life that keeps coming back, that you cannot take away, it keeps coming back, tell God, Lord, forgive me. Why? Because if I have an unconfessed sin, I am giving the devil a foothold that he can take against me. And he's going to keep pressing that every day. And that's why I can never forgive the other person. Because it keeps coming back. Because I am giving the enemy the power to do so. And I pray, oh Lord, take this away. He cannot take that away because we have given the freedom to Satan. We need to say, Lord, I am sorry I have sinned. Forgive me. And then next time the devil comes to tempt you, You're going to see with amazement how the devil has no power to keep bringing that temptation against you. Oh, he will try. Because I tell you, I have tried. I have, I talk sometimes when the I feel the enemy is tempting me or something. I said, don't even try wasting your time. But you say, well, so you think that you're so powerful. No, it's because I have failed so many times that I learned ahead. Lord, forgive me. And now when the enemy came, I said, I've been free from that thing. I had asked forgive me for my Lord. So you out now. And I feel the freedom from that temptation. He doesn't give up. But every time he's going to fail and he's going to run. Now he's going to try something else, and he does. I tell you one thing, Satan will never give up in trying to put us down. But once you learn to stand on the forgiveness that God gives you, then you have power. Remember that he says in Ephesians, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. So you see, you can be angry with John or Peter. You start early in the morning, you can enjoy the whole day. Before the sun go down, remember. But the better the faster we can go to the Lord and ask forgiveness, the better. Let's go on. We need to finish. I'll wait for the Lord, verse 5. I'll wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In his word, I hope. Look at this. I'll wait for the Lord. My soul waits. I hope in his word. For in his word, I hope. And here's the key. We need to know the word in order to trust the word, in order to hope the word. That's why it's important for us sometimes to memorize parts of scripture so that we can, when we go to sleep and those evil thoughts come to our mind, you say, Satan, it is written. Remember, we cannot improve on the methodology that Jesus used. Jesus will tell him, it is also written. So, memorize the scripture and then tell the enemy when you feel under pressure. For example, you feel that you are upset with Peter because of whatever. And you feel that you have to go and be angry the whole day. You know what? You're going to be tied up forever until you ask God to forgive you. Because you're going to be tied up to that thought. Let it go. Ask God forgiveness. He says, my soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. More than the watchman for the morning. How many of you have been a watchman or a police officer or a soldier in the army guarding something? See right there? And you hope for the morning. If you're working at night, when I was in the army in Brazil, a lot of times they would put me far away, almost in the jungle. Right? The headquarters is here. You have a few miles. There is a huge tank with water. Oh, they want us to protect that tank. Why? It's so big and it's big and nobody's going to go there. If somebody puts some poison there, we all dead. So it never makes much sense to me, but that thing is high and is big. Anyway, I was there for several hours walking. I tried to go to the shade, to where it was dark, because there's too much light. I said, if I am standing here in this thing, and anybody's going to do something, they're going to see me from far away. They're going to work with Vivek. I'm going to hide myself under the trees, and somebody get close, I'll see you, and I have the big gun. But I say this to say that I was looking for the morning. I was hoping that almost 6 hours, so another group is going to come and take over. And that's what he's saying. Now, why he uses the morning? Because I'm going to be 73 in January, you see. I have never seen one day without morning time. So we know for sure, and the psalmist knew for sure, that the morning was coming. And that's what he's saying, my soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Because the psalmist knew that God was going to come through, even if right now I do not understand why I am going through this problem, why somebody did something bad to me and enjoys life and I am suffering. I have talked to people many times in churches and they say this, no, but you don't understand how I feel because that person did something. Let it go. Forgive. Oh, it's not easy. Oh, I know it's not easy. I've been there. But then, look at this conclusion in verse 7 and 8. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. Look at that beauty. Steadfast love. And with him is plentiful redemption. Isn't this amazing? God's steadfast love and his redemption. We should never doubt God's redemption, God's forgiveness to us. Because there is where the enemy places his stronghold. If I doubt God's forgiveness, when I ask God to forgive me, yeah, I ask, but I don't feel forgiven. And maybe you need to begin believing before you can feel. Because if you are doubting the word of God, then you don't stand a chance against the enemy. Steadfast love, plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. All. And all of that is because of God's mercy. From even before the foundation of the world, God decided that. I don't have power to heal myself. I don't have power to forgive myself. I don't have power to come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit is helping me. And that's the power and the victory that we have because the Holy Spirit of God is with us. But the evil one don't want you to believe that this is real. I tell you one thing, I was doing this spiritual warfare with the enemy for one specific thing. And I guess I even told Laura about this several months ago. And I said, I have an amazing victory and over temptation that I thought I could never overcome. 6 months. And that temptation, that thought that would come to my mind, disappeared. Wow. And then, happens again. Hey, wait a minute. Now the doubt, maybe I was just believing that God had delivered me and the devil had gone away. The baby, that was just something in my thought. And I began questioning God and asking God, Lord, about this. How can that be, this and that? And that's when I learned, you need to ask God forgiveness for this thing and say, Lord, forgive me. Whether it's doubting God or whatever it is, it's forgiveness. And guess what? The evil one lost his power again. Now, I'm waiting to see what will be his next trick. And that's why it's so important for us to depend on the Word of God and trust the Word. Don't trust yourself. Trust the Word, because it's the only hope we have is to trust the Word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you are not a God who is there making a very long list of perhaps 70,000 sins every day that you can show to us on the last day of judgment and say, here it is. And then none of us would have any hope, because then even our salvation would be depending on us. But because that is not possible, Lord, we know that our only hope is to believe your promise, is to believe your word, is to trust you, is to trust your grace. And we pray in Jesus' name, that each one of us today may be released from any sense of guilty or any sense of wrongdoing by whoever, by a brother in the church, a sister, a neighbor, or whoever, that has done something bad to us. Help us to begin praying for that person, even if it's against our own will to do it, but to do it just in obedience. And when we begin doing that in obedience to you, we know that you will deliver us, and we will begin to glorify God in our lives. In Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Thank you. God bless.